Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for learning with us today. It's Chess Nisan, Tavshin Pei Daud, April 16th, and we're in the middle of discussing the fourth and the fifth types of bitachon that the Aruch HaTzaddikim presents. And they have to do with our performance between us and Hashem and with other human beings. It occurred to me one day this week, though, I said to myself, why is it so challenging for me? Why am I having such a difficult time dealing with some intense emotions and feelings about my performance, how I fall short, and how I feel inadequate? And then I realized it's because an obstacle that stands in front of me in order to be able to accomplish and to get close to this type of bitachon. What is this type of bitachon? To trust in Hashem that he's going to help me to fulfill my obligations and my privileges. One of the obstacles for that is that I am aware of my imperfections. And I need to live with those imperfections. And as we've said many times, not just to succeed despite them, but to use them as a springboard and to persevere because of them. Take them to turn them into an avoda and to help propel me forward in avodas Hashem. And it occurred to me how human error is such a real existence, and it's humorous at times. First, I'll quote you the Maseilas Yesharim. A couple of pieces of Maseilas Yesharim came to my mind, and when I remember that it's normal to be abnormal, it's expected to experience the unexpected, and to be imperfect is what we call perfectly imperfect as a human being, as my wife says to me. The Maseilas Yesharim in Perek Chaf Beis mentions Hasichlus Rav Banu. There is an overabundance of foolishness among human beings. Batos Goveris. Error reigns. Error overpowers us. Mistakes. So, to a degree, it's a little bit comical that it's very likely that we're not going to get something right. We're going to be derailed. We're going to have failures. And we're going to fall, and we have to get back up and live with that. This is a reality, and the reason he's telling us this, by the way, you might be aware, is to try to remind us to not be arrogant and to feel that we're on the top of the world and we're perfect. We're perfect in everything we do. But I use it also as a reminder that if I make mistakes, I have to live with those, and I still have to love myself. If I don't have that attitude, I won't be able to love other people, and I will be full of anxiety because I'm always concerned. Oh, no, I made the wrong decision. Maybe I made the wrong decision. What if I don't make the right decision next time? And the Maseilas Yesharim also in Perek Chaf Beis, he declares, Sheyoser Karov Lo Tamid. It is more close to a person. It is more likely, ready? Hatos, that the person is going to make a mistake. Then it is going to have the true knowledge and understanding and is going to get it right. Now, that sounds a little bit pathetic, but it's also a bit humorous that a human being has to realize it is more likely, he says more likely, it's more likely to get it wrong. It's more likely to err. There's so much Torah about human error. There's a whole Masechta. Remember, Masechta's Kinim is about pairs of birds. There are many people have to bring a cane, one Chatas, one Ola. And sometimes people bring two olos, two burnt offerings as birds, but a cane is like iluach ha-kain, kan sipor. And the whole masechta is about the bird flies the coop, literally, and they get mixed up. And we have to have, it says Mordechai Bilshon, it says Psachia, that was the same person. It says in Maseches Shkalim, was in charge. He was such a genius, he had to be able to unravel the mathematical dilemmas that occur when mixtures happen and mix-ups and blunders. It's all about mess-ups, taruvos, all over the place, mixtures, forbidden mixtures, shogegin. There's so much about shogeg in the Torah. A person who makes a mistake and doesn't avera, forgets that it's Shabbos, forgets that you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos, etc., etc. Even more dramatic errors than that. Oh, in Maseches Sukkah, I remember in 11th grade, the first time I learned it, the first Gemara that I ever made a siyum on. And we know there are two svalim, these basins or pipes or entryways for liquid on top of the mizbeach. One is for water, one's for wine. And we know the wine is every day. two times a day in the Tamid Shal Shachar, Tamid Shal Ben Harabayim. And then there's the one for water, which is only during Sukkot, whereas we do Nisuch HaMayim, the water is poured on the Mizbeach. So it says, Hishchiru Paneihem, the both of them were like tarnished, they were like dark colored. Now wait a minute, one of them is for water. Why should that ever happen? So as my Rebbe pointed out, Rabbi Resnick, he said, you see from here that they did what the Mishnah says. What happens if you pour them in the wrong hole? What if the Kohen on top of the Mizbeach pours the wine into the water pipe, the water entryway? That's still okay, but yeah, but post facto. But it was so much done that the color actually turned, both of them turned color, even the one for water, because the wine was poured into there. Who knows how many times the mistake was made? We make mistakes. It's normal. I'm still going to love myself, and I'm going to love other people. I'm not going to be uptight and discouraged because I make mistakes. I remember a couple of mistakes I've seen, and we move on. The reason I'm mentioning this now, as I said, in case you joined us in progress, is because we're talking about connecting with Hashem, with Bitachon, regarding our Avodas Hashem. We need to employ and have this Bitachon that Hashem is going to help us. But we also have to trust in ourselves abilities that it's okay if we trip up and we have made mistakes and we might still, but we just do our best and keep moving. I was once Rosh Hashanah afternoon in a very chashuv a shul with a very chashuv a chazan. And we know that starting on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur themselves, when you get to Kedusha, when you're saying Chazaras Hashatz, and even in your own Amida, so when it says the Dor V'Dor Nagid Galecha, and then it says V'Shiv Chacha El Kenu Mipinu Lo Yemush Le'olam Vo'ed Ki Kel Melech Gadol V'Kadosh Ata. Now, what usually happens the rest of the year? You say the bracha, Bracha to Hashem, Hakel HaKadosh. That's what we usually do. But what happens on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? We say, Ki kel melech gadol v'kadosh ata. No bracha right there. You stop and you say, Uvachein ten pachtachash, emalokeinu, and a whole bunch of paragraphs. And finally, at the end, you have the bracha, HaMelech HaKadosh. There's a big gap there where usually you go straight to the bracha. Ki kel melech gadol v'kadosh ata, bracha to Hashem. HaMelech HaKadosh. That'll be the rest of the week in Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Well, what's the point? There's a big gap. You're supposed to stop and say a few paragraphs in the middle. So the Chazan went straight to the bracha. So what is the halacha if he skips all those special Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur paragraphs? What if he skips all of it? He goes right to the bracha, HaMelech HaKadosh. So post facto, b'di'evit, it's okay. But he sure missed a big chunk of the davening. I saw it happen publicly. This is a human being. He's a great human being. He's a Talmud Chacham. It happened. My Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Wein, once told us, he was, although many times Masadar Kiddushin at a chasana, this was a chasana he was at, a wedding, that he wasn't the Masadar Kiddushin, but he was still under the chuppah. He was given one of the brachos, or he was one of the Aidim, one of the witnesses. So the Masadar Kiddushin, the one who was running the chasana, conducting it, went through the ceremony and skipped the part which we call Erusin or Kiddushin, the halachic engagement, where the chasan gives the ring to the kala. So my Rosh Hashiva told us in yeshiva, obviously he didn't use any names, he said that he was in disbelief. He's standing under the chuppah, you have this huge Talmud Chacham who's the Masadar Kiddushin, and he skipped the whole first stage of marriage, of halachic marriage, which is the halachic engagement, which is Nesinas Tabas. And you say, you're engaged to me. So my Rosh Hashiva said, he whispered to the Masadar Kiddushin, hey, he didn't give her the ring. Missed that part. An error can happen. It doesn't mean he's not a great person, the person who made the error. He's a great person who made a mistake. Sometimes greater people make great mistakes. My imperfections and other people's imperfections should not cause frustration, sadness, anxiety, because that's part of being a human being. That is what we're made of. Body shape, that's a sore point for some people. I should look a certain way. Why don't I look that way? Why am I disproportionate? Why can't I? Why don't I? Why haven't I done this? Why haven't I mastered this? All of that is an obstacle and an impediment to this bitachon that the Orchos Tzadikim is talking about, which is, I trust in Hashem Hashem's judgment, he made me human, made me somebody who can make mistakes, and he also can help me to do Avodas Hashem the best that I can. But I'm not going to let it get in the way that I'm not perfect. And I'll remember that I'm a human being with that in mind. And the reason I did this is because I wanted to zero in on something that affects me acutely. And that is the reality of imperfection. But I think it's more healthy to look at the humorous side of it and just to move on. So the Orchos Tzedikim tells us, in our Avodas Hashem, we were up to this line last time, the Zoher Kefi Yecholto Lahastir. Very interesting topic. When it comes to doing chesed and doing mitzvos, a person should try, should be careful to hide and to conceal what he's doing. So I said I was going to talk to you about this topic. The question is, should a person be a nister? Should a person do Torah and mitzvos and hide it in order to be humble so that he or she doesn't get credit and recognition? So let's just nip it in the bud right now. But Moshe Feinstein writes in his Darash Moshe, in Parshas Vayetze, that is not for us to do today. That is not part of our Avodas Hashem, mostly, in most cases. And again, what does this have to do with Bitachon? Because the Orach HaTzedikim is telling us, we're supposed to trust in Hashem. Listen to the connection. We're supposed to trust in Hashem to help us do the avoda, to help others to do chesed. I need Hashem's help to help others. And I need to trust in Hashem that I will be rewarded in kind by Hashem, but I don't need to try to be recognized and acknowledged. That's part of this bitachon, because I know that Hashem is fair. So I'm not going to be impatient and say, well, where are my returns? You know, where are the dividends for everything I'm doing? Sometimes, especially in chinuch and with raising children, it's years, decades down the line. So in the middle of this, he says, therefore, it's healthy. It's a sophisticated concept. It's healthy to conceal what I'm doing. Because if I hide what I'm doing, these mitzvos that I'm doing, so then that will further curb my tendency toward looking for reward. For sure, I'm not going to get rewarded if nobody knows what I'm doing. And that will therefore fortify my trust in Hashem that he will reward me when he sees fit, where he sees fit, and how much he sees kaviyachol is appropriate to reward me. But Rav Moshe Feinstein tells us, in this day and age, we should not be masked here. We're not supposed to hide what we're doing. So I'll read you the piece. It's in Parshas Vayetze, and we did it the last time around, maybe a year ago. Yaakov Avinu saw a camp of malachim, more than one. Vayomer Yaakov. And Yaakov said in Parshas Vayetze, Kasher Ra'am, as soon as he saw them, he said, Machne Elokim Zeh. This is the camp of Hashem. This is a camp of Hashem's soldiers, so to say. And he called the name of that place Machanoim. It was two camps, two different sets of malachim, as we know. Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Gimel, Parshas Vayetze. So Rav Moshe tells us, this hints to us today's attitude, the contemporary attitude about hastara, about hiding what we do. Even though it was a healthy thing, per se, to hide the mitzvahs we're doing, and that will actually strengthen my bitachon, that only Hashem knows what I'm doing, and he's the only one who knows about the reward I deserve, so I won't be pursuing reward and recognition. It sounds like a great idea, but today he says, Tzorich li'ishtadel bidoreinu, in our generation, Rav Moshe says, we have to endeavor she'techef yakiru kihu shomer Torah u'makayim mitzvos ve'oseh tzedakos. It says, Vayomer Yaakov kasher ra'am. Rav Moshe takes this idea and applies it to our generation. As soon as Yaakov saw this camp of beings, as soon as he saw them, kasher ra'am, machne elukim zeh. That's how it's supposed to be with us. Kasher ra'am. As soon as somebody sees us, they should be able to declare, machne elukim zeh. This is a camp of Hashem. That means people should realize, I am keeping the Torah. I am fulfilling mitzvot. I do learn Torah. I do tzedakah. I'm not supposed to be a hidden person, a nister. Why, though? Isn't it sounding like a very lofty, praiseworthy attitude and policy? I'm only doing it for Hashem. I'm going to hide what I'm doing so I won't have human recognition. It's going to be between Hashem and myself. Zed dodi v'zerei. No, not today. Why? I bet you can guess. What changed? in order to serve as an example for others to learn from. Well, what about the earlier generations? Barak Bedoros Harishonim, only in the earlier generations, Shoyu Kulam Sadikim. There were so many, many, many more righteous people, Rav Moshe says. Hoya Efsher Lihios Nister, the Masab, like what the Orcha Sadikim said. Then it was acceptable. Then it was possible. Then it was praiseworthy to be a Nister, to be a hidden righteous person, a hidden side. Ava Bedoros Shalanu, in our generations, Sorich Adaraba. We need the opposite. The Yedu call Adam, Asher who showcased Batorah. Everybody should know exactly where I stand. Everybody should know what I'm aligned with, what I'm affiliated with. It has to be conspicuously clear that he's showcased Batorah. He's diligently dedicated, devoted to Torah, beoset tzedakah, and gives charity. Kedei sheyilmadu mimasa, in order that people will learn from him. This piece of Rav Moshe, in the end of Parshas Vayetze, I shared it with myself and with you. Thanks for listening as I give myself Musar. So that we should realize that some things change. We have to always be learning from Das Torah and from Sfarim and from Gedolim. That if it says it in the Orcha Sadikim, it might not be, especially Hashkafet like that, might not be something that we should do today. But I did make myself a note. There are some areas that we are supposed to conceal what we're doing. For sure, like halachically, when it comes to tzedakah. Well, the recipient of tzedakah is going to be very embarrassed if he knows who is providing that tzedakah most of the time. So we have to keep that halacha, that when we give tzedakah, we should keep it concealed, at least from the recipients. But the fact that I give tzedakah, or the fact that maybe there are some recipients who get from me tzedakah and it's not hidden, that's also important. They should know where I stand when it comes to tzedakah. To be a full nister, a hidden, we're not supposed to do that today. So, but the Orcha Zedikim continues. Bim lo yochal ahastir, and then even in his generation, and actually we can apply it to today. In his generation, sometimes a person was not able to hide and conceal what he or she was doing. All the great mitzvos. And today, where Rav Moshe says it's also today in general, lo yochal ahastir. We're not really able or supposed to keep it as a secret because we're supposed to inspire others. Then what should we do now about all the recognition we might get? We might and might not get. Yizkor, a person should remember, shekol ha-to'eles v'ha-nezek, that all the benefit, and if there is any damage or discomfort in, let's say, conveying Torah to others, giving over words that are sometimes not comfortable for those listening to them, because it means that we have to work on our mitos and changing our lifestyle. But all of that reward and damage that we might feel, or discomfort, or lo yehe min habruim, it's not coming from people. No. Ki im birshus tabora yisparach. It's only with Hashem's permission that it happened. Well, v'chol zeh, and in all of these areas about doing mitzvos, yosim bitchono b'Hashem yisparach. A person has to place his trust in Hashem, in the blessed Hashem, that Hashem will guide me how much I should conceal in general to do things that people know where I'm standing, as Rav Moshe Feinstein explains, and that Hashem should help me be successful, because boy, do we not need a lot of siyata d'shmaya when it comes to learning, to teaching, to performing mitzvos, to giving tzedakah properly. Oh, let's say we have a victory. We have to celebrate our victories and successes. When Hashem brings about a mitzvah through a person, if through me a mitzvah happens, I'm able to assist somebody, I'm able to accomplish something. Yachshov b'libo, the person should think in his heart, ki hi tova me'ez habore yis'ale, that is a favor from the exalted creator, from Hashem, sheheitiv elav, that Hashem did a favor to the person. Hashem was so benevolent and kind to me that he allowed me to be the agent, to do a mitzvah, to be the conduit for some kind of chesed, some assistance, some kindness to somebody. Thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam, for allowing me to be in the right place at the right time. Below yismach b'shabeach ofso b'nei Adam. Again, this is to be taken carefully, but not to rejoice too much when people praise him. I love my Rosh Yeshiva's mashal. Maybe you all know it already, but I used it for myself. My Rosh Yeshiva always said that praise is like perfume. It is to be inhaled, but not ingested. So if someone praises me for something that I did, for learning, for teaching, for a mitzvah, I should inhale it. I should say, oh, I will take that, and I thank you so much for that. I will use that to help me feel positive about what I've done. Like the Pasuk says, I will feel my self-esteem has been raised. And that'll help me to move forward constantly, to forge ahead in Avodas Hashem. But the Aruch HaSadikim says, lo yismach. You shouldn't rejoice too much. I'm putting in the word too much because, again, today's generations are probably different. I shouldn't ingest it, because if I drink perfume, then we know, chas v'shalom, I have to call the poison control center, aka a spiritual poison control center, to go ahead and neutralize the effects of internalizing the praise so much that I became a Baal Gaiva because of it. So conceited that now I think I'm better than other people, and I also cannot tolerate any insults or setbacks. Those are signs, symptoms of Gaiva, you know, of arrogance and conceitedness. So that would be if a person ingested, internalize the praise too much. So we should take the praise for what it's worth. Yes, use it as a boost, as an inspiration for myself, because that is not an accident that I got that praise for doing those mitzvot. That was the fifth bitachon. Today we're going to start with the sixth one, one of my favorites, because we already know that there's something called fear. And I did review again this week in the Mesillas Yesharim, when he talks about the impediments toward Zrizus. What is it that stops a person from serving Hashem with alacrity, with enthusiasm, with fervor? What stops a person many times? It's fear. I'm afraid. I am immobilized. I have debilitating fear. I have trepidation about what's going to happen. And I told you, I've heard, someone once told me, I live in fear. I once asked in a class at school at Ritz, does anybody in this class have anything that you're afraid of? And we're going to try to talk about this hashkafically. You don't have to share this, but it's your option. So if someone raises their hand, I say yes. She says everything. Some people are more prone to fear. And we already learned in the Mesillas Yesharim that if I live in fear, I will be immobilized. It's debilitating. It pulls me down. I'm stuck in the mud. So the solution is lo sira mehem. It's my favorite pasuk in the Torah, Parshas Shoftim, when the soldiers go to war. And I did review again inside this week that Rabbi Yecheskel Sarna, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Chevron Yeshiva for 40 years, and his pirush on the Mesillas Yesharim reminds us that Rabbeinu Yonah, by the way, we learn the Rabbeinu Yonah inside the Shari Tshuva in the very first Vad, or one of the first ones. Rabbeinu Yonah holds it's a lav gomor. It's a full power negative commandment. It's a lo saseh, lo sira mehem. Don't be afraid of them. Not just the soldiers on the battlefield, not just the bullets whizzing around, but the bullets of life, the challenges, the daunting tasks of life. Those things that push us into pachad, all types of fright and intimidation and fear. Lo sira mehem. Rabbeinu Yonah says it, but it's so surprising that it's kedai to see when we have a Rishon who says something that is a chiddush and it's a bombshell. How Rabbeinu Yonah says it's not just for the soldiers on the battlefield. Lo sira mehem, don't be afraid. It's for every person regarding every frightening situation. It's lo sira mehem. It's an iser d'oraisa, says Rabbeinu Yonah, to be afraid of whatever that calamity, disaster, chas v'shalom, a person anticipates might happen, even if it looks like it's going to, chas v'shalom. Lo sira mehem. Now, I do want to mention that a person might say, come on, you're being way too strict here. I mean, you're not allowed to be afraid. I can't control that. I understand. This is why we work on it. This is myself talking to myself. We work on it regularly because it's a human tendency, depending how we're born and our tendencies. We have more of one, let's say, element of creation than the other. Some of us are born, as Reb Chaim Vital says, brought by Rav Volbe and Alei Shor. Some of us have more offer, for example. We're born more earthly. Of our four elements of creation, the predominant one might be that earthliness which pulls us into depression and trepidation and anxiety and laziness. It all goes together, by the way. The laziness and the sadness and the depression and the anxiety, they're all the same. That's what the Mesillas Yesharim says. So Rabbi Cheskel Sarna says it's a lav gomer. It's literally not allowed to be afraid. Now, I would like to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam that he made this a lo sase. Because if it would say, you don't need to be afraid, and that's where it stops. You don't need to be afraid. You can trust in Hashem. Hashem's our friend. That would be beautiful, wonderful, fine and dandy, but it wouldn't be enough for me. I need to hear, you're not allowed to be afraid. Now, if I hear that, lo sira mehem, then I realize, oh, that's already the next level. So I put the train back on the tracks. What is it that is causing me to have anxiety? Well, lo sira mehem, the Torah says you're not allowed to be afraid. Kal vachomer, if the soldier on the battlefield is walking between the bullets and it says lo sira mehem, kal vachomer, all the other things in the three categories that the Rambam classifies in the Moreh Nevuchim when he explains Eov as the template for every human being, which has to do with parnasa and health and children and family and relationships, all those three areas are frightening every day, some on some days more than others, for most people on most days. But Baruch Hashem, it says, lo sira mehem. Not allowed to be afraid. That's so comforting. You're not allowed to eat non-kosher. You're not allowed to drive on Shabbos. You're not allowed to be afraid. Whoa, that's a lo sase. I know it's not punishable with like punishments in Beis Din, like malchus, like lashes or capital punishment or anything like that. But I can tell you one thing, it definitely puts everything into perspective and it changes my whole life when it says lo sira mehem. So the next bitachon is the sixth one. And the Aruch HaTzaddikim actually tells us that a person not only has a right to trust in Hashem, that Hashem will protect me from pegoyim, from all types of evil encounters, from all types of challenging, saddening, and shocking, and bewildering experiences. Not only do I have a right to have this trust, I need to have that bitachon. That bitachon is the key to success in emuna and simcha, because we know that that's where we're headed. We start with emuna, the foundation, that's the cognitive, the fundamentals, the philosophy. Then we move to the practical application, which is bitachon. And then there's the climactic emotion of simcha that we experience with our neshama, which is the goal of this whole vat. So in summary, the next time we do this, Nimir Hashem, having finished the two sections about trusting in Hashem when we fulfill mitzvos between us and Hashem, and also between us and other people, we're going to discuss how every single day, every moment, we don't need to be afraid, and we should not be afraid, because Hashem is guarding us all the time. And as the Chafetz Chaim explained to us in the Machne Yisrael, and as is indicated in Svarim, earlier Svarim as well, it's proportionate. The more bitachon we have that Hashem protects us, has protected us, does protect us, and will shield us from all types of tzaros, to that degree, we are zoche that Hashem protects us. That's v'hayo Hashem miftacho. Hashem becomes the person's trust and bastion of faith for that person. Emirat Hashem will continue, not next week, and not the week after, because that's Yom Tov, but the week after that. Thank you again to Mr. Jake Wyman and Mr. Mitch Green. Everyone should have a beautiful Shabbos and a Chag Kashiv Sameach as well. Thank you so much for joining us.